Chapter 4 Walker was a great believer in the powers of the subconscious, that part of the brain that worked while the rest slept. He slept late the next morning, went into the office around noon and told Kanan he was working on something that might or might not pan out. Kanan wanted to know what, but Walker wouldn't be pushed. If Kanan knew how close he was to having the Melinda Baker piece ready for the street, he'd get that look that all city editors get when they smell a story coming. Then he'd start pushing Walker to get it done. They would ride roughshod over the woman before he could learn what she was about. The tiny details, the little threads of emotion that would make a sensational story something truly fine, would be left dangling, hinted at but only half developed. He drove past the Baker house again. The sign said, "For sale by owner." There were two phone numbers beneath it, which Walker had copied into his notebook yesterday. An identical sign with the same two numbers was posted outside the Gunther house. From a phone booth 3 blocks away, he tried both numbers. There was no answer at either. He spent his day in the county clerk's office, looking up records of the property transactions. Hal Gunther and Melinda Baker had bought the houses at the same time, from a single source, and had lived there for 5 years. Mrs. Baker's handwriting was clear and quite ordinary. In the late afternoon, Walker ate alone and went home to try the numbers again. He flipped the TV dial while he looked through his notebook for the numbers. NBC was repeating a special on Radio City. Gregory Peck was host. There were appearances by Ann Margaret and Beverly Sills, and a promise of backstage interviews with the Rockettes. He turned the sound down while he made his calls. Melinda Baker answered almost at once.
"Hello?"
As Kanan had said, her voice was soft. "I saw your sign. Is the house still available?"
"Yes."
"How much are you asking for it?"
$45,000.
He paused just long enough. She said,
"That's open to negotiation."